Happy Wednesday, everybody. It's time for your listener questions, including a question about doing the Food and Wine Festival the right way. But first, a word from our sponsor, and that's our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And right now, as I glance down at my iPhone 7 Plus, I can see that we're down to a mere 90 days until we check into Walt Disney World before the Be Our Guest podcast cruise 4. I just made that final payment for the cruise earlier this week, did my online check-in, so I am ready to jet down to Walt Disney World this July. And every time I get a call, send a text, or check social media, I see Days to Go WDW. I see the little notification badge telling me how many days I have to go at a glance. And then I click into the app. I see the awesome stock photos that I have running right now, Spaceship Earth at night, some great pictures of the Imagination Pavilion. I see Toy Story Mania and more counting down to this epic Disney adventure. You can do the same. Download Days to Go WDW right now over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1154 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you, and thanks for checking in to the show here where we answer your listener questions, take your comments, and just talk about everything going on in the Disney universe. If you want to be a part of the show, send in your question or comment to Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com, and we'll get that on here right away. So the whole team is back together for the first time in quite a while, so we're excited for that. So joining us from touringplans.com, themouseforless.com, and DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, you know her, you love her, apparently. She is Rip Rocket Ricky. What's going on, Ricky?
So I decided that I would put the Universal podcast on hold and come back to my loving family here. So, hello!
That's it, you know, because Disney's just, you know, we got some love here for Universal, but Disney just has more to talk about, I think. You know, it's more...
I wouldn't go that far.
Oh, I would.
wait till a future podcast when I talk about my trip.
Well, you know what? I got the big buzzer every time you stray too far.
So that's true.
And the resumes were piling up for your seat, too. So if you go too far to the Universal side, it'll be... we do have an opening here at the Be Our Guest podcast.
Yeah, I really don't know how to feel about that. So there's that. But I'm glad for the ones that were going to miss me. So that's good. But for those of you that weren't, we need to have a talk.
That's it. All those people you thought were your friends are trying to replace you, you know.
Right, exactly. Did you get one from a Jay Griffin?
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure you would have.
Yeah, a little payola, too. So, you know, watch yourself. Yeah. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. What is going on in this fine Wednesday, Pam?
Happy Wednesday. I'm happy that Ricky's still with us, so it'll be good. Although it was impressive, the number of resumes that you got, just saying. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, so. Exactly. What if we actually really did put out an opening? It'd be crazy.
My goodness. It would be crazy, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, too, we put Rip with your name. Like, that wasn't probably a good idea either. You know, we don't think too far ahead on the April Fool's shows, you know, at the shows.
So no.
People, I think, thought you might have passed away. I don't know.
Oh my!
I'm just saying, it was weird. It was weird on many levels.
That took a turn that I wasn't expecting. Right,
well, you know what? We got you guys. We got you. So hey, hang tight till next year. Anyway, you're here for listener questions. So let's get Adam here. First question is coming from Priscilla, and she says, "Hi, BOG crew. I don't miss an episode, so we're already starting to plan for our next trip to help deal with my current post Disney Moon blues. What is the best time of year to go when all the holiday decorations are up, but it's less crowded time at the parks and more affordable room pricing? Forget Christmas Day or New Year's, not going to happen again, but thinking sometime right after Thanksgiving or the first week of January. Oh, and what is your favorite decorated Christmas tree on property? I would like to take some nice family pictures. Yes, it's early, I know. Thank you, Priscilla." All right, so a couple questions. When's the best time to go if you want to see the holiday decorations? Like, total package, lowest cost, lowest crowds, but to see the holiday decorations. Like, give us about a week span. What would you say, Pam?
So I would go probably like the end, starting the week after Thanksgiving. So don't arrive like the weekend right following Thanksgiving, but how about the week after that to give it a shot? And this is a question that we get so often because lots of people want to do that. So it actually turns out that December really isn't that slow anymore, but there's actually no time that is really as slow as people want it to be. I'm sorry, that it just isn't there. So what we have to go with is ish, right? What is slow ish? And in everyone's mind, that term is a little relative, but, by waiting until not the week immediately following Thanksgiving, but kind of, you know, maybe you could arrive that like about two weekends after Thanksgiving, you'll avoid a big chunk of people that were there for Thanksgiving. And you'll be there before the rest of the folks are arriving for Christmas. And the crowds will stay probably pretty much the same until about a week before Christmas. And then we'll build slowly, slowly, slowly until you're there between the week of Christmas and New Year's. And then that's going to be one of your busiest times.
Yeah, I agree. That first week of December is a really sweet time to be there because it's the beginning of the Christmas season. You know, everything, you're still kind of super fired up to hear the Christmas music because you're not hearing it back at home yet. You know, just started. You're avoiding the crowds. Just like you say, they just grow as you get closer to Christmas Day. And then it gets, you know, all bets are off once that happens. But all the decorations are up and you just have, you know, you have pleasant weather too. And there's a high likelihood that the discounts will not be blocked out during that time as well because they're trying to get everybody there. So I'm right with you. So, Ricky, anything else? Or just hop into, if you have a favorite Christmas tree on property. I'm trying to think of mine. That's a tough one. There's so many good ones.
That is a tough one. So I was going to say the same weekend as you guys because she wants to get our family picture taken with the Christmas trees at the resorts. And those are really only, they really only go up after Thanksgiving at the resorts. So if that's kind of what you're looking for, then that's really the time that you want to go is anytime after Thanksgiving before and right before Christmas. So anytime in that sweet spot. I do love the Wilderness Lodge's Christmas tree. I think it's really cool and unique. It's got teepees on it. So, I mean, how cool is that? The Grand Floridian, of course, is very grand. And I've definitely gotten a family picture taken there before. Plus, then you can see the gingerbread house, too. So, you kind of kill two birds with one stone with that one. So I think that those are my two suggestions on Christmas trees.
I think one of my favorite Christmas trees may be the one outside the studios. I kind of like that one. It's very grand and it's, you know, it's in a huge open area, so it's easy to get the whole tree, you know, and you can get kind of creative. People can get around it. The cool thing is now they have PhotoPass photographers near every tree, so you can get some really cool shots. Another thing that I really like over the past few years, I love like the, like 50s and 60s fake like silvery trees. And I think they have some of those. I want to say that they have those over at Pop Century. But those are cool. I think I got that from a few years back. Matt Parrish posted his Christmas tree. And I think he had one of those at his house. And now I'm like, I'm dying to replace the regular tree with one of those metallic silver trees. But yeah, my wife's not having that. So Pam, do you have a favorite Christmas tree on property?
There are so many, and I love the one you mentioned at Hollywood Studios. My mom actually bought me one of those Santa heads that are on that tree, the light up Santa head.
Those
We've talked
so cool.
about this.
Yeah.
But it reminds me just of a really cool, you know, that period in time. There's also a great one at the 50s Primetime Cafe. That's kind of a lesser known one, but it's absolutely the one like you're talking about, Mike, that's all silver and it has a little color wheel to project the different colors onto the Christmas tree. I know, right? I love those too. I have kind of a Christmas tree problem in that I like buying them and we have many throughout our house during the holiday season. But anyways, another great one is over at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And just like Ricky had mentioned, the one at Wilderness Lodge is kind of unique. The one at Animal Kingdom Lodge is too. It just has some kind of African themed ornaments on that. And I really appreciate that. I also love, you know, the ones over at the Yacht Club and the Beach Club, because they also have some great displays along with the trees. But the great thing about all of the Disney resorts is that each one of their trees, each, you know, the ones at each one of the resorts is really themed to the resort. And it's really a unique experience. For instance, when you're at the beach club, they have a lot of seahorses and shells and things like that. When you're at the yacht club, they have boats and ships and nautical themes. I mean, they really just do a fantastic job. As with all things Disney, you know, it's in the details, and the trees are no exception to that. So
nothing like talking a little Christmas here, a couple weeks before Easter. But hey, you got to get right. Ready. You got to be early, man. You got to jump on. Actually, I was looking for a guest for the first week of December, a couple of campsites for this year. Nothing available. Those snowbirds already have them all soaked up and gone. So interesting. Early bird gets the worm, or the campsite in this case. All right, next we have Beth. She is in St. Jacob, Illinois. She says, hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. We, myself, my husband, my best friend, who happens to be Mike's sister-in-law, Donna, and another friend have booked a trip for the second weekend of November, which I believe will be right at the end of the Food and Wine Festival. This will be a first trip in a long time for our friend, and so we're planning to do as much as possible without completely running ourselves ragged. Donna and I are huge Disney fans, and so we know that this will be difficult for us to do. We are staying in a family suite at All Star Music. In order to get the full effect for Food and Wine, we plan to spend one evening in Epcot, a Friday, and one morning or early afternoon there, a Monday. We have three questions for you. Number one, do you know the exact dates of Food and Wine Festival for this year? Our last day, the day we fly home, is November 14th, so I'm hoping it runs through at least November 13th. Ricky, do you have the dates on that? I don't have them handy, but is she going to be able to see the festival?
Yeah, hang on. Actually pulling them up as we speak. I know that they are getting close on that one.
Yeah, it is close. I'm crossing my fingers. It's a friend of my sister-in-law.
I know that I have the date.
Well, here, I'll go to the number two. So just pull those up and we'll get that guy. Number two, do you all have any tips for doing Food and Wine Festival right? Like, should we start at a certain side? Should we stop at every country and look at their food options before deciding what to get? Are there fun, different alcohol options at every country? Should we just snack our way through? Will one evening and one morning be enough? We aren't big drinkers. All right, so let me stop there and just throw in a couple things that I want Beth to think about and all of her friends, my sister-in-law Donna, Crazy Donna we call her, Crazy Aunt Donna. They're going to have a good time, but here's the thing I would warn you, just to have in the back of your mind. The festival on a Friday night is going to be a nut house. You're not going to see the entire thing. It's going to be crazy, especially if the weather's nice that night. You're at the end of the festival. Those locals are trying to get out there for that one last hurrah. I'm hoping that's not. I don't think it's. I think it's the weekend after the Wine and Dine Half Marathon weekend, isn't it?
The festival starts or ends November 13th.
So that'll be your last night. So you'll be there kind of at the very, very end. So Pam, is everything I'm saying true about just that Friday night could just be something where it's not going to be a leisurely browsing around the kiosks. It might be just a scavenging for whatever you can get your hands on.
It might be like, which line is the shortest? Yeah. Which line do I not have to wait an hour and a half to get something in? I mean, that sounds a little negative, and we'll try to give you some suggestions on how to do it. But in the evening during Food and Wine Festival, that's the time, I think, which is most challenging, in that the lines really do become longer. And sometimes the crowd can be a little rowdier. I've never really encountered anything out of control, but just know that going into it. And it just is, you know, so many people love that festival that they're trying to get in their last little bits of food and wine, right? And so that's something that you are really going to want to keep in mind.
Yeah. And I would just say, you know, you said you're going on that Monday morning. You know, my best experiences with the festival have been during the week, right at 11 o'clock in the morning, you know, make it your lunch and go all the way into dinner. And just like you said, snack around the countries. You can go from either side. There are fun alcohol options at almost every kiosk. You know, what I would say is go on to a website like the Mouse for Less, because they'll be up there, Disney Food Blog, wherever you want to go. There's going to be menus with pictures well before the festival starts, before you guys head down. Kind of just make a checklist, you know, hey, you know, Brazil has, you know, I want to check out those Hawaiian pork sliders or something like that. Just have kind of a top 10 that way, you know, okay, I don't want to miss this, but don't marry yourself to those items because you may find a surprise that, hey, let's give this a shot, especially when you're with a big group. So I would do that. But the thing is, you can do so much more right as the festival opens during the week. So I think that Monday is going to be way more fun for you guys than the Friday night, even though Friday night seems like the night to go out and really enjoy a festival like this, because in a place like St. Louis, that's how you do it. But just, you know, from my experience at Epcot, it can get, it's not rowdy. Like, rowdy in St. Louis means watch your back. You know what I'm saying? It's not like that. But, you know, I mean, it's just, yeah. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of, you know, people are drinking alcohol and having a good time. You know, it's not the Magic Kingdom, but it's not bad at all. I mean, I'm not bad mouthing it, but I mean, it's just crowds and people, you know, eating and drinking and having a good time. So, Ricky, anything else to add for that?
You know, I was going to say, like you said, look at the menus, like you said, find out what looks good or have a general idea. Because you know what's going to happen? You're going to be going around the festival and you're going to see something and or smell something, which is more normally the case, mm-hmm. and be like, oh, that smells so good. I have to get it. So, I mean, you're inevitably going to have that happen to you. And, you know, sometimes depending on how warm it is, you may decide, you know what? I don't want that item right now. Yeah. So just be flexible with what you want to try. Definitely share. Brian and I just did Flower and Garden Festival, which is, of course, a mini version of Food and Wine Festival. And we shared, you know, quite a few. We shared all of our dishes and we got through quite a few dishes that way. And that way it just gave us a taste of some of those items. But we really did get full by the time all was said and done going around the festival. So you can get, you know, kind of full by doing that. So those are my big suggestions. There's, you know, plan it out, but be fluid and know, and like you said, yeah, you might want to avoid this the Friday because of the fact that it is the last weekend and the locals will be out in force to get the last remaining, you know, weekend of the Flower and Garden Festival. Probably Saturday will be the worst day of the two, but Friday night, definitely after people get off work, it's going to start building. So, but Friday and Saturday are definitely going to be the worst 2 days of that.
Okay, her third question says, when will the tickets for the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party be available for purchase? We're hoping to attend it on Sunday, 11/13. Ricky, don't those usually come out around the 1st of May? I'm trying to think. That's usually what I'm thinking.
Yeah, so I can tell you, I've been looking at what people are searching for the Mouse Palace, and they're definitely anxiously awaiting information about Mickey's That's a Scary Halloween Party and Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. Last year, they released the information super early. It was in the middle of March, beginning, you know, like, it was definitely in the middle of March. And I even thought back then, I was like, they announced that really early. Usually the tickets go on sale the 1st-ish of May. So I would expect that we will find out more as we get a little bit closer. But yeah, I would look for that 1st of May time period to be when tickets will go on sale for both Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party and Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party.
Yeah, but nobody's searching free dining, right? I just want to clarify that, right? I haven't heard anything about that. No, nobody do that. Anyway, she also closes out by saying, thank you for making my commute to work, bowling every other Wednesday, and time walking and jogging so much more entertaining. I love, love, love the fact that so many people turn to me for Disney advice, and I credit much of my knowledge to listening to you all. Keep up the great work. So thanks, Beth. Beth is she's an awesome high school teacher over in Triad High School in Illinois. So good job, Beth. And you guys are going to have a killer time down there. It's going to be fun. But wait, how are you going in November? You got school. I won't tell your principal. I'll be good. See, I won't have to worry about that next year. Anyway, all right, I would have a principal. I like that. This is the first. I have been going to school since I was 5 years old. I thought about that the other day. My whole life. Like, I won't know what to do in August. I'll be like, what's going on?
No, you won't.
It won't be a bell ringing. I'll need a bell or something, you know? It's crazy. Anyway, Missy in Indiana has a question. Hi, guys. Going to Disney World in October. Wondering if it's possible to do Fantasmic and Galactic Nights at Hollywood Studios in the same night. Considering doing the dessert party, too, for the Galactic Nights, and wondering what your thoughts are. It'd be about $250 for our family of four to attend. Thanks, Missy. All right, Pam, can you see, basically what this is, can you see the Star Wars fireworks? And she's considering doing the dessert party with the Star Wars fireworks and Fantasmic in the same night. Can you do it?
It really depends on the schedule for that day. There are certain, they've tried to make it so that it's doable, but it really requires your attending typically the first Fantasmic, and then you would pretty much need to hustle to get over to the area to see the Star Wars fireworks. At least that's what it's been in the past. Now, we haven't even seen the schedule for the summer come out yet for the Star Wars fireworks, correct? Unless I totally blanked and missed it, but I was just looking the other day and it's still not out yet for the summer. It is coming back for the summer, but they do not seem to have that schedule. That schedule seems to be entered, you know, awful late. So if you're going to want to do the dessert party with that, that's going to add a little bit of your time onto your time, both prior to the Star Wars fireworks and then probably a little afterwards too. So these are all things that you're going to need to take into consideration when you see that final schedule is released to see if you'll be able to squeeze it in.
What I would do, here's my advice just from, you know, all the times that I've been in the studios and I've seen both of these many, many times. The thing about Fantasmic that you always have to consider is it's not the length of the show. It's the what you have to go through to get to the theater. Like, it is not a fast thing to get to that theater. You walk like they could do a half marathon from the beginning of that line till you hit your seat. Like, you should get a medal by the time you get there because it's at least 5K. So, you know, you're walking back there zigzagging. You're like, I thought there was a theater somewhere here. I think I'm at Epcot. Finally, you see your seat, you get there. But the thing is, when it's a full house, when you got a busy time of year, just that many people, that theater holds a bajillion people. So when the show's over, you're going to be waiting because you can't climb over the seats. They'll yell at you. You got to wait, you know, file out in an orderly fashion. And it's just so slow. And so the thing is, here's what I would say is if you're going to do the dessert party, forget Fantasmic because you're paying, like you said, $250. The last thing you want to do is be stressed about that experience. You want to be able to be there when it's starting, enjoy the entire time, get around and have all the desserts, take pictures, get that front spot for the fireworks. You want to get that whole experience. You don't want to be paying $250 and rolling in like at the very last minute, trying to scarf down a couple cupcakes, you know, not have the best view of the fireworks. It's just, that's a premium experience. You want to make sure you get as much out of that cost as you can. So if you're going to do if you're going to do the dessert party, just forget Fantasmic. You know, that's what I would say. Ricky, what would you offer?
I would too. You know, I know that Fantasmic is fantastic. But if you are really excited about the Star Wars fireworks, I would probably skip Fantasmic, and if they're really wanting to do the dessert party, I would do that instead. In that case, I don't think that they can do both, because like you said, they just wouldn't get the money out of doing the dessert party. Yes, they'd get a great spot, but you really would have to hustle to get down there, and then you'd be fighting all the other people who are hustling to get down there too. So I would say you would want to choose one versus the other, and it sounds like they really have their heart set on more on the Star Wars fireworks than maybe Fantasmic. So that's what I would do if it was me.
But here's my hack.
This is from the person who doesn't do Star Wars. So
it's just so good. Those so good. I love those fireworks. My hack for the Star Wars fireworks, I have Paige always runs and gets me a peanut butter and jelly milkshake from the Tune In Lounge, and there's my dessert party, baby, right there. It's for like $5. It's a great, oh, I love that milkshake and the Star Wars fireworks. Nothing better. But let us know how you do. You know, I think you could do both, but I could just see you're leaving Fantasmic, trying to get to the dessert party. You're behind 1,000 other people. It's just a madhouse. So that's, I would offer just to see one, but let's see what you do. All right, Lacey's got the next question. She is in North Carolina. It says, my husband and I discovered the show a few months ago and loved the show. My husband and I are going on a short trip in September to the Animal Kingdom Lodge and hope to secure a bounce back offer for our fall 2018 trip. We would like to secure a room or suite since we'll have a total of 10 going, 9 adults and a 2-year-old. My first thoughts are that 6 of us to get a suite at Coronado and the other 3 plus the 2-year-old get a regular room there. We've never booked a bounce back offer before. Do you suggest this route or another? Will the construction at Coronado be an issue? Will we have a couple of new Disney goers and want them to have a great first experience? Thanks for the help, Lacey. All right, so we're talking bounce backs, Pam, and we talk about this quite a bit. I think we actually talked about this last week a little bit. But what I would do is if you get, this is just my advice, and you can kind of see if I'm kind of thinking the right way here. when you get a bounce back, if you're pretty sure you're going to go, is there any negative into booking that? You know, just call your travel agent, book it yourself, whatever you say, because you still have plenty of time to cancel and you're not going to get a penalty. So I would say book it, secure the room on that discount, and then see what comes down the pike. I mean, that's what I would do. What do you say?
Yeah, I agree. There's no harm in doing it. And typically what we have seen is that the bounce back offers are better than any offer that is released to the general public, both in terms of the discount that's being offered and the availability, because you're getting in on it so much earlier than the rest of the crowd. There are a few things, though, that I would consider. First of all, oftentimes suites are very limited in terms of what's available with a discount. And I know you mentioned getting something, a suite at maybe Coronado. And one of the things that you may need to look at instead is being flexible and picking some regular rooms to accommodate your party. And that's something to think about. But yeah, we book bounce back offers all the time for our guests. I think, you know, we encourage people to try to find the best ways to save, and the bounce back offer is definitely one of them. Plus, it is something that even after you book it, you can change dates. Of course, that's based on availability, but that's something, it's not like you're forever set in stone with those dates either. So it's just a win-win all around.
And that's one of those things you have to book by checkout evening. It's kind of like the dining plan. It goes away as soon as you checkout evening. But I will also say, you know, if Coronado is something you're worried about with the construction, and like Pam said, maybe you can't find an offer there, a great alternative for a group this size, I think, might be a couple of family suites over at Art of Animation or All-Star Music. Yes. Just keep that in your back pocket. That might be somewhere where they do have availability. You're going to have the space you're looking for, and you're not going to have construction. So you're kind of addressing all the issues.
And those do frequently. We see availability at the Art of Animation and All-Star Music family suites with most discounts. So that's always something you're going to want to consider with a larger group.
All right, next question will be for Ricky, and it's from Gerard. He's in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The show's great. Keep it up. I'm doing my first Run Disney race in January 2018. I'm arriving Friday for the Saturday half marathon. Upon arriving, I'm going to use my DVC voucher to get an annual pass. Will the photo pass that comes with the annual pass be active in time for the race? Thanks, Gerard. Ricky, you're our PhotoPass specialist, memory maker, all that good stuff. So he's going to get he's arriving on Friday, running the half marathon on Saturday. Mm-hmm. He's going to get his annual pass with his DVC voucher when he arrives Friday. Because the picture's a little bit different for the Run Disney events. How's that work for Gerard? He doesn't know this yet.
So now they come in through the My Disney Experience app. So for all the Run Disney races. So as I would believe that, and Mike, you can kind of, I think this happened with Paige, is that as soon as you activate that pass, you should be able to get your photographs. So you should be good for the race. You'll have to input your code, which your code is going to be for the race, which that is your bib number. So you will need to do that in order to be able to view your photographs. So just know, like, they're not going to come to you automatically. But once you do that, you will have them in your memory maker. So you'll be good.
Yeah, I want to say that they put the instructions on the back of the bib. There was like a code. I think it was on the backs of the bibs, so that you had it right there with you. But you just enter that, and what's going to happen is you're going to originally get all your pictures watermarked. And then once you have an annual pass and it's linked, the watermarks go away. So you have your real pictures.
Yeah.
That's one of the best things for runners that Disney has done in a long time. That is
absolutely
such a value add for the people who run Disney.
Absolutely. So I agree with that.
All right, let's get to Sarah's question. She is in Sterling Heights, Michigan. Says, hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. My husband and I are big fans of the podcast. We're looking forward to a big trip planned in September of 2018 with both sets of grandparents and our kids. We're planning on purchasing Memory Maker for the first time. Is there a limit to how far in advance you can purchase it? We'll be staying in the Grand Villa at our home DVC resort of Old Key West. Any recommendations for a multi-generational trip would also be welcome. We're planning on 4 to 5 nights at Disney after a cruise, not a Disney cruise, unfortunately. Our son will be 4, and our daughter, who is currently still on the way, will be about 13 months. Thanks, Sarah. All right. Well, first of all, thanks for supporting the show. We appreciate that so much. Pam, isn't a grand villa at Old Key West like the size of the White House? I've heard those things are ginormous.
They're very large and they're multi-level. So,
really?
Yeah.
Oh,
and you really spread out in that for sure.
Oh, man. Yeah, I get to stay at Old Key West after the cruise, and I could not be more excited. I'm going to take as many welcome homes as I can get, even though I'm not EBC. I'm like, well, you know, welcome home. I want them all over the place. So what have you learned, Pam, working with guests, you know, over the past 15 years at the Magic for Less with multi-generational trips? What do you do to make those extra special? Because you have more consideration.
I think that it has the opportunity to offer you, so you really kind of multiply your opportunities to make those magical memories with a multi-generational trip, because it just is, you know, things like that are always precious, right? That you have this big group of people that aren't typically together doing something like this, I think is just a great way to really celebrate that family bond. And I love to hear about them. It also has some potential for some stickier situations, because you're on like day four of like a 7-day trip and so-and-so is tired of so-and-so. So these folks don't want to do anything that these folks want to do. You know, it's a lot of family closeness and bonding, both good and bad. So anyways, I think one of the things that's most important is when you're doing the planning, invite everyone to participate in some way in the planning, to seek their input, to give people, you know, when people feel like they have some kind of input into a situation, they're more likely to kind of take ownership of it and actually, you know, think about the questions you're posing them. And that, you know, helps with the planning. You kind of try to respect everyone's wishes. Remind everyone that everyone's not going to want to do everything together all the time. And let that be okay. There will be one of you who thinks you should be pretty much attached at the hip, and you should do every little thing together, whether it's you should all suffer together or, you know.
That's our theme. That's actually, that one is the theme of the podcast cruise this summer. I don't know if you heard that.
Exactly.
We're all going to suffer together. That's it.
But that's it. But you know what? A family vacation and making great memories is not dependent on your spending every second of every day together. What it really means is that you set aside some time throughout the vacation where people can break down into groups and do, some of them will want to do thrill rides, some of them won't. Some of them will want to sit down and have a drink at dinner, and some of them will want to go. I mean, just respect everyone's boundaries. A vacation is different for everyone. I think every now and then it's hard, you know, even with your own family, you're planning this vacation, you put so much time, money, and effort into it. And let's say your teenager is like balking at 50% of the things that you've set up, but you really haven't taken into consideration that maybe his or her feelings are completely different about what a vacation should be. So just, you know, it's going to take a lot of respect and a lot of patience, but it's definitely worth trying and making it happen, because there's just so many things that so many memories, so many experiences that you wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah. And I think you're in a great spot here, because one of the things I've learned over the years, because, you know, it used to be just about going down, seeing the attractions, you know, eating at the restaurants. Over the past 3 to 4 or 5 years, it's been more about seeing my friends. I never get to see from all over the country. We get together and we just want to hang out and have a good time, you know, and just talk and catch up. With having the Grand Villa, you have space and you have like a house, you know what I'm saying? Like you have a home base to actually sit on a couch, make some meals, you know, it's like all sitting around like at a holiday, which you guys may all be from different places all over the country, all over the world, but it gives you that space that you really can't do that comfortably in regular hotel rooms. So I think that Grand Villa is going to be a plus for this trip. I think that's well planned. Just the more space you have, the more homey it feels, kind of the more relaxed I think everybody would be. And everybody who, you know, wants to stay back, they're not just sitting in a regular hotel room. They're in a place that is a destination. It's enjoyable. It's relaxing. They can watch TV. They can read. You know, you can go out and enjoy the amenities at Old Key West. I think that perfect. So, Ricky, we forgot to answer our initial question, Ricky, but how far in advance can you get a memory maker? I haven't even thought about that. I mean, cause usually just tag it onto your, you know, My Disney Experience profile when you're ready to roll, and there you go. Save the $20.
Yeah, I don't know that there's a time limit. So I guess you can get it whenever you want it.
I guess. So anything else for multi-generational trips that we missed, Ricky?
I think you guys pretty much covered it all. So I will not add anything else.
All right. Well, then let's
get it all.
That's it. All right. Let's get to the last question of the day. And it comes from Robbie. He says, hello, BOGP crew. First of all, thank you for the excellent podcast. I look forward to listening to you every week. And Mike, in regard to your pending career change, I want to say good luck and congratulations. Not many of us get to do what we truly love for a living. And I admire you for taking that leap of faith. I know you're going to miss your students, but remember that you have thousands of students out here in podcast land who are excited about the prospect of more content. Well, thank you, Robbie. I appreciate that. And I'll miss my students come July. Right now, it's the end of the year. I'm ready. We need some separation.
And you're not missing anything right now. Yet. You're like, I want out.
this is called crunch time. They're done with Mr. Robin. I'm done with them. But it'll, you know, what's that? Something that makes the heart grow fonder. Absence,
yep.
I think, is
absence.
What it is. Yeah,
that's
so that's
it.
What it
that's
is.
It. Yep.
All right, here's my question. My family and I are going to Disney World in September of this year and hoping to attend the not-so-scary Halloween party. My wife loves Halloween, and we've been discussing Disney-themed costumes for the family. But after reading the park guidelines for dressing for special events, she's become concerned about what is and is not acceptable. It looks like our 9-year-old daughter and 5-year-old son can dress in whatever costume they'd like, as long as their entire face isn't covered, but we're not sure how strict they're going to be with the parents' costumes. Obviously, we'd never wear anything inappropriate, but we're unsure about how elaborate our costumes can be. Having never attended, we're not really sure what to expect and don't want to get turned away at the gate. Would you be able to shed some light on what is and is not acceptable dress for adults at special events like these? Also, any costume ideas for a family of four? Thanks again. All right, Ricky, so, you know, this is kind of your thing because, you know, you're just good at, like, the rules and what Disney's expectations are, especially for these hard ticket events. This is one of your favorite things, too. So it's kind of a gray area because I think Disney says something like you can't look so good that, like, guests would come up and want to, you know, get an autograph from you. But who determines that? You know what I'm saying? Like, what if you want to have a nice costume? I don't know.
Yeah, that essentially is, like, the biggest thing. They don't want people to, you know, really go out so that they look like, you know, say Tinkerbell or something like that, and actually, you know, pose with people for pictures and sign autographs. I mean, they don't want to get into that area. So the costume rules, what they are for those who don't know, is, and these were updated last year, and it was kind of updated after, you know, some of the attacks happened. So that's kind of why these things were put in place. Guests ages 14 and older are strongly discouraged from wearing layered costumes. So basically what that means is they don't want you wearing things that have huge poofy skirts or anything like that. And truthfully, you don't want to wear those things because I will tell you, it is still hot.
That is. Captain EO almost died that year. I almost died in that Captain EO costume because I was going to keep it on till the death, and I almost did.
Yes. So, I mean, you know, don't wear your big prom dress or anything like that. Like, just make sure, you know, you're fine if you want to, you know, like Disney-bound type, you know, dress or something. But don't wear your giant prom dress. You can't wear props that surround your entire body. So, for example, you can't be dressed up as Spaceship Earth with a giant cardboard Spaceship Earth around your body. Costumes cannot obstruct your vision, so you can't wear a mask or drag on the ground. So again, you can't like wear a cape or anything like that. That'll, you know, drag. You can wear a cape if it's like above your waist, but I know that that's for Run Disney, but you can't do it during, you know, regular events. Costumes cannot contain any kind of weapon or anything that can be mistaken for a weapon. This includes like toy guns, does not include lightsabers. So you're okay if you want to bring your lightsaber. You know, of course it is fine. They sell lightsabers.
That's it.
They're going to want you to bring your lightsaber.
Star Wars, exactly. Yeah.
If we sell it, it's okay. Again, those dressed in Disney costumes cannot pose for photos or sign character autographs. So, you know, if you're dressed up like Gus from the Haunted Mansion, just know that you can't stop and sign autographs. And, you know, just use good judgment. They're really not going to be they're not going to be terribly strict with people. They know it's a fun event. They know that people are having fun. Just be smart about what you're dressing up as. You know, that's kind of the whole thing. I think things were getting a little out of hand, I think, was kind of, and they decided to rein it back in just a little bit. So, you know, that's really what you need to look out for. If you want to dress up together as your whole family, please do, you know, go right ahead. You're not going to be in trouble for that. Just, you know, again, be smart about how you're dressing, because like we said, it's Florida and it's hot. Yeah. So, you know, that's my biggest tip. That doesn't have anything to do with the rules. It's Florida and it's hot. So, and it will be hot in the evening at Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party in September, definitely, and more than likely in October as well. So just keep that in mind. It's going to be hot.
I will say, looking back on my pictures from the Halloween parties that I've gone to in years gone by, I always get like two or three pictures at least with other guests because I like their costumes. You know, I know you're not really supposed to be doing that,
you're probably not supposed to do that.
But they're awesome.
If you can do it, if you can do it, you know, kind of discreetly and not like, you know, but you know, if Disney starts catching on that you're, you know, getting a lot of people who are stopping and taking pictures with you, then they're going to be like, no, please stop. Yeah. So just know that.
You just got to kind of sneak in there, because I remember I was eating at Pecos Bill's and it was a group of four people. They were dressed like characters from Spaceship Earth, like the, you know, the girl, Beyonce, there with the thing, you know, over the computer room. And then, you know, a couple others. Yeah. So like they were, you know, I like the ones that are like themed to Disney parks. It was a group of all the stretchy groom people from the Haunted Mansion, and they were spot on. I was like, can I get a picture? And I think that, you know, I think they enjoy that, because think of the work they went into. They went into those costumes, and that, you know, they're suffering because some of those costumes are hot. And I'm thinking, man, I am glad I'm not wearing a sport coat right now, you know, like with tails, because it's hot, you know. So I don't know, Pam, any suggestions for them? I mean, they've never been to the Halloween party, but it sounds like this is right up their alley, because they're already asking the right questions.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one of the best things that you see is not only, so the movies have a lot of opportunities for dressing up, right? You can pick a family from a movie and have your family dress up like that. But I think all of us Disney fans, let's say, love when we see people who have dressed up like an attraction, like something in an attraction. That's just the coolest thing. And there's lots of opportunities there when you really think about it. So I would honestly Google it, because I have seen seen some fantastically creative ideas out there for Disney costumes. And I'm just going to say it once again, because it hasn't been said enough. Remember, it will be hot.
Yes.
It's so clutch. Everybody forgets, you know, they think, oh, it's going to be cool. It's October. Nope. Not even close.
You're going to sweat so much. Think of these things. You want breathable material. I've seen some folks make some fantastic costumes with some poor material choices. You want something that's going to breathe a little bit. How about that?
That sounds good. Man, we've talked about Halloween. We've talked about Christmas. Nothing like that.
I told you, everybody's looking forward to Halloween. That's true. You know, that's what I keep seeing. So I guess they're excited.
But you know what? That's smart. Get ahead of the game. You don't want to be chasing it down later. So good stuff and great questions, everybody. Keep them coming. Mike at BRGuestPodcast.com. We'll get those on the show here right away. But today's podcast brought to you by the great folks over at VirtualMickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Real quick, Ricky, are we reading about the new security procedures for the Magic Kingdom lately? I mean, that sounds like a big, big change. And I saw a picture of the Magic Kingdom entrance plaza, and it looks awesome. It's clean all of a sudden. Did you see that?
It is. Yeah, it does look good. You know, just know that there are definitely some security changes that have taken place. Bag check is not at the Magic Kingdom anymore, per se. Mostly not at the Magic Kingdom. I think I saw some on the boat docks to like Wilderness Lodge and stuff like that. But you're gonna actually get checked ahead of that. You're gonna get checked typically at the TTC, and also I believe they're checking in the monorail. You know, before you get on the monorail at the resorts. So obviously there's a little bit of fluidity with all of this. So things are gonna keep continually change as Disney learns things with this process. So what you see, you know, at the beginning of the week may not be what's there at the end of the week, and what you see at the end of this week may not be there what's at the end of next week. So right now things are going to be very fluid. So just be patient. and be kind to the security cast members. You know, just know that this is a process for them, a learning process for them as well, too. So, but it does look nice. I have to admit, not seeing all the people crowded under, you know, the right in front of the Magic Kingdom, though, that part was really nice. So
it was, yeah. So open. It was like, wow. I mean, I'd never realized how beautiful it is there without all those, you know, checkpoints.
It's obviously been a while.
Yeah, it has. It's been a really long time that was the new normal. But anyway, you can get great articles like this. Keep up to date, you know, so that way you know going in how to get the most out of your next Disney vacations. Check out these and other great apps over at virtualmickey.com. I want to thank everybody who is using our Amazon affiliate link. You guys are doing awesome. You're helping support the show. So keep doing that. Anytime you shop on Amazon, just drop by brguestpodcast.com/Amazon first. Your purchase will be exactly the same cost, just like my good buddy Jay Griffith just did. He bought something on Amazon during the live show. And boom, we got a little credit. So thanks so much to you for doing that. And please just bookmark it there in your browser and take care of it again. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at BeOurGuestMike. And drop by the Facebook group. Lots of great Disney fans over there all day, every day at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, well, it's time to get out of here until we get back together on Monday. And on Monday, how about Friday? It's not Monday yet. We got to get to the weekend. So what we're going to do is get back together. We're talking cruising on Friday. We've been talking about Walt Disney World quite a bit here. I need a break. It's early spring. I'm getting the fever for the podcast cruise. We're going to talk about what to think about at this point before your Disney cruise. At about 90 days out, what should you be doing besides hiring somebody to make your fish extenders? What should you be doing to get ready for your next Disney cruise? So we're going to have a lot of fun talking about the Disney ships on Fridays. Hope you'll join us for that. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome Wednesday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.